There it is, the photo opportunity and the signing of the documents. President Putin has just signed documents to incorporate territories of Ukraine into the Russian Federation in this televised ceremony. So once again, he signed the treaties alongside the Moscow-appointed authorities in the four regions of Lugansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. They've just signed the treaties, and President Putin has effectively absorbed these Ukrainian regions into the Russian Federation. Let's once again bring in Patrick Burry. He's the defense and security analyst at the University of Bath, joining us again from Bath in the United Kingdom. So, Patrick Burry, we were just witnessing the signing ceremony. And before we broke away, you were saying that while Putin was speaking, there was nothing really threatening in what he had to say. But from a security point of view, he did say that we will work to increase security in these new four regions. How, what do you read into that statement? What does he mean by that?
Darren, and just to clarify, what I was saying was that, you know, in terms of what he, the threats and that he'd made before regarding these territories and them coming under Russia's nuclear umbrella, there was nothing new in terms of, there was no ultimatum to Ukraine, for example, to stop attacking them, as far as we know from the translation we've just had. There was no telling Ukraine to get out of these oblasts, their armed forces. He did refer to them as terrorists and rebels, mind you. So the security implications now are, you know, what does Ukraine do in these oblasts? Do they keep attacking? And then, and I'd imagine they will in the short term. And how does Russia respond? There was no specific mention, as far as I'm aware, of a nuclear escalation of any kind in that speech. There has been before. So in that way, in terms of managing the nuclear escalation risks, which a lot of us have been wondering and worrying about, let's be honest, it hasn't gone any further than what we already were, and that's a bit of a relief. I think my general takeaway on this speech actually is that it was more aimed at the global audience, aimed at the audience in the Middle East. Putin was speaking like he was addressing the United Nations. The audience is in the Middle East, South America, China, India. And basically saying, look, this is a clash of ideas, in his view. Talked about sovereignty, talked about colonialism, and he's appealing to basically everybody to try to exclude, that he pointed out, the UK and the US and their, you know, basically aggression on him. Now, you know, for the global audience, there's a lot of pot kettle black there. You know, the West has made mistakes, does make mistakes, no one's perfect, but so is Russia.
Right.
That needs to be pointed out, too.
Right. And how do you read the message to Kyiv? Because he said, and I'm quoting him, "We call on Kyiv to immediately stop military actions and return to the negotiation table." I mean, how does this annexation and what we just witnessed in the past 60 minutes or so change the course of the war in Ukraine, do you think, if any at all?
Well, the ball essentially is, luckily there was no threat. Like, if you don't do this, we will do this, and an ultimatum. So, and he did mention, yes, he called on a ceasefire, and they've been looking for a ceasefire before. But we know that Ukraine and its allies are, Ukraine essentially is like, we want to keep fighting to take these areas back. We believe they're ours, and they've every right to. And they've turned down ceasefires before. So in terms of, you know, how does this actually move on from here? I think we'll have to see how it plays out is actually the answer. I would imagine that Ukrainian forces are attacking as we speak around Lyman again, you know, to try to take and envelop those areas. I don't think that's going to change. In the short term, at least. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out on the ground.
And as for sort of the Western response and the international community's response, we've heard the usual rhetoric and, you know, the criticism and condemnation and countries in the West describing this as illegal. Do you think it'll make any difference at all to Russia, and what steps could they take?
But did you say to Russia or?
Yes. Do these condemnations and criticism make any difference at all?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you will see them start to move their mobilized troops in there. As he said, they'll try and secure those areas as best they can. They don't hold all of those oblasts, as we well know. So they're contested as it is in at least three of them anyway. I don't see them actually. Funny enough, there was some scope potentially of like a bargain between, okay, we'll withdraw from Kherson and maybe Zaporizhia, but we'll keep Donetsk, Lugansk. Now that they've had this signing in ceremony, as Putin explicitly said, I think that's more difficult for him domestically, much more difficult for him to then actually come to some sort of negotiated settlement, even if the Ukrainians were willing to accept that. So essentially, I think Russia will try to bolster the defences there, as with their mobilised numbers now coming on online, and the West will keep that support for Ukraine going in. We saw, I think, yesterday the announcement of 18 HIMARS rocket systems, which will, you know, as far as I'm aware, more than doubles what was already the Ukrainians have going in there. So I think that will continue. But we're not out of that. At least this speech didn't raise the threat of escalation even higher. We're not out of that yet.
All right. Thank you so much, Patrick Bury, for sticking around. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Now, let's take a quick look at the areas of Ukraine that the Kremlin now claims is part of Russia. It's about 15% of Ukraine's territory. But it's important to note that under international law, it's illegal to hold referendums during conflict and where people are under threat. And the UN Secretary General says the annexations have no legal value and must not be accepted. We have Roy Challen standing by for us in Kyiv with the reaction from there. But first, let's go to Mohammad Val in Moscow. So there it is. The signing ceremony happened. Mohammad, tell us how this is all playing out in Moscow, where you are, and what actually happens next.
Yes, Darin, I see people in the streets carrying and waving Russian flags. And that applause that you have seen during the speech by President Vladimir Putin. So as he was also addressing the world, as the analyst said, he was also basically and essentially addressing Russians and telling them that this is a move to redress the wrongs of the past, the history of Russia. He reiterated, Russia is a great civilization. Russia is a great nation, to remind the Russians that they have to fight for this greatness, they have to fight for this history. He evoked some of the ancient leaders or previous leaders of the Russian Empire, talking about the children. This is also for the generations to come. This is to protect our children from the influence, the immoral influence coming from the West. He condemned what he called the Western forcing of children to change their sex, for instance. And that's a part of a long condemnation of everything the West is doing, in his view, hypocrisy in its relationships with other countries, colonization, slavery, destruction of other peoples, the use of nuclear weapons. He said the U.S. is the only country that has used nuclear weapons twice. And he reiterated the fact, according to him, that what happened today, this integration of Russia with those territories, is compatible with international law, according to the first article of the Charter of the United Nations. I don't understand. I don't know what he means with that. I think he means that every people have the right to decide their own destiny and their own future. So it's a speech that, according to Russians here, is a speech of mobilization. He also congratulated those who have participated in the mobilization, and he talked about the need for every Russian to contribute and to participate in the defense of the national territory.
Okay, thank you so much. Mohammad Val is reporting for us from Moscow. Over to Kyiv now. We bring in Rory Challen. And Rory, the president of Russia, Putin, said that Kyiv should respect the will of the people. And he also called on Kyiv to immediately stop military actions and return to the negotiating table. How is this likely to go down where you are? And what sort of response has there been to this annexation?
Well, I mean, there was something that I noticed very strongly in listening to Putin speak there, and I think it will be noticed very strongly in Ukraine as well, and that is how little Putin in that long speech actually spoke about Ukraine at all. You know, essentially, he doesn't really feel that Ukraine is that relevant in this conflict. He doesn't see the Russia-Ukraine war as a war of peers. He sees Ukraine essentially as a puppet, as a tool of Western ambitions. He doesn't see that this is a country really with its own agency, autonomy, or sovereignty. And that is something that has chimed. Yeah, it chimes with how Ukrainians feel about the Kremlin's attitude to them, Kremlin chauvinism. They don't think that the Kremlin respects Ukraine as an independent country. Putin has a view that is essentially revanchist. You know, he's talking about great historical Russia. He's harking back to the leaders of Russia in the past, like Catherine the Great, Suvorov, and saying that, you know, the USSR, when it collapsed, was a catastrophe, that it destroyed a great country. The 90s were chaos for Russia, where Russia was taken advantage of by the West, and now Russia is renewing itself and asserting its greatness once again. He has called on the Ukrainians to come to the negotiating table, but says that these newly annexed parts of, Russia, were Ukraine, are non-negotiable. That, of course, is not going to wash here in Kiev. Effectively, it doesn't make much difference to what Kiev is intending to do next, which is what it's been doing all along since Russia invaded. Fight off the Russian invasion and restore the territories to Ukraine that Russia has taken off them. Yes, Russia alluded, Putin alluded to nuclear weapons. He didn't talk about a direct threat that he was going to use them, but he said that Russia would use all the means at its disposal, or could use all the means at its disposal, to defend these newly annexed territories. But as our guest Patrick was saying a little earlier, this doesn't actually change the dial on the nuclear temperature. It doesn't increase it, but it doesn't decrease it that much either.
Okay, Rory, thank you so much. Rory Challens reporting from Kyiv. Let's now bring in Vladimir Sotnikov. He's an independent political scientist who specializes in Russia's foreign affairs. He's joining us from Moscow. Welcome to Al Jazeera. Just give me your initial thoughts on what stood out for you over the past...
Thank you very much.
...when Putin was speaking and during the signing ceremony.
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me in your somehow a historic program. So I would like to speak, first of all, that this is quite a historic moment for the civilization, at least for the Russian civilization, but also the Western elites should take it very seriously. This is a sort of, to my mind, a programmatic speech by President Vladimir Putin, because to some extent, I think that it will determine the course of relationship with the Western world for years to come. So this is quite a new epoch, actually, which has been appearing since February.
What do you mean by that when you say it'll determine their relationship? Because the fact that this annexation is, in fact, not internationally recognized, described, the referendums being described as a sham by many countries... how does this play out in Russia, and how is it actually going to affect relations between the West and Moscow?
Let me disagree with you. Actually, disagree in principle. This is not an annexation. This is the will of the people. You know, the will of the people in Donetsk and the Lugansk regions. This is the will of the people. So they said that they are going to join Russia. So that is actually not an annexation, because this decision was actually preparing long ago, even from 2014, and should be done in 2014. So as regards to the relationship with the West, first of all, my point was that the deterioration of the relationship between Russia and the Western powers now is taking a new turn. And when I'm talking about the new epoch, that means that for years to come, this relationship will be deteriorated. Will be not determined like...
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there, but we thank you so much for joining us Moscow. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Let's get U.S. reaction with our White House correspondent, Kimberly Hall.